Chapter 4, Instant Property Analysis to Identify Profitable Deals. You know that your target houses are located in low to middle income neighborhoods. You also know that most of them will be bread and butter houses, 3-bedroom, 2-bath houses in need of repair that you can buy at a big discount. As mentioned before, houses with 1 bathroom or 1.5 bath are okay too, especially if you're selling them to be rented out. Now I'm going to narrow down your search even further. In this chapter, you'll learn how to evaluate houses instantly and make strong offers that will ensure it's a deal where you and your investor buyer will make money and you'll be able to sell quickly. The structure of my instant property analysis system works anywhere, but the actual numbers will vary from location to location. Where I live, the cost of houses is on the low side. In the Carolinas, the houses I buy usually have an after-repaired value in the $50,000 to $150,000 range. In big cities like New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Atlanta, Boston, Philadelphia, and San Francisco, the average will be higher. In some of these areas, low to middle income houses will sell for more than $200,000. More offers mean more money. In real estate day trading, the more offers you make, the more money you make. Always remember that. Offers are like money in the bank. If you are timid about making offers, you'll never make money in real estate day trading. It's okay if you are timid now, but once you start making offers, it will eventually become natural. Some people are frightened to make offers on houses being sold as is. First of all, you don't really know for sure exactly what you're buying, the cost of repairs, how much you can sell the house for, or even if you'll be able to sell it at all. The biggest reason most people don't want to make offers is because their biggest fear is, what do I do if they take it? In the next chapter, I will show you how to build a database of hungry buyers so you never have to be afraid that your offer will be accepted. I designed my real estate day trading system to enable you to fearlessly make strong, powerful offers on the first phone call. This chapter explains how to make lots of offers without the slightest hesitation. Later, I will show you how to make automated offers without having to get on the phone with a seller or realtor, but for right now, we will focus on analyzing a deal to get your first offer out before getting off the phone. The first step in instant property analysis, which allows you to analyze a house on the first phone call with a seller or realtor. Some investors talk to sellers and, after the call is over, spend hours inputting numbers into a spreadsheet program that includes every conceivable expense that could ever occur so that the program can spit out the return on investment or ROI numbers for 5-10 years or more into the future. They do all this to make a simple offer on a small house. By then, they've lost touch with the seller and end up playing phone tag for days or even weeks. When they finally get a second chance phone call with the seller, the moment has passed and the deal is gone. Using this method, it's hard to make very many offers and it's hard to make any money. It also wastes a lot of time. In my experience, all you need are a few numbers and a few simple calculations to know exactly what you can offer on any house. In fact, I tell everyone I do business with, investors, realtors, and owners, sellers, that I will make an offer on the phone on any house on the first phone call. I don't hang up until I make an offer. Remember, making an offer is only the first step toward making a deal. You don't have an actual deal until you go through the negotiating process and reach a meeting of the minds with your sellers. Making more good offers means making more good deals. It's important to make only good deals. There are many good deals out there to be made. You don't have to waste your time chasing after bad deals that are impossible to make money on. Before making an offer, you've got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you will make money. If not, then just pass. Get off the phone and go on to the next phone call. You don't have to chase bad deals and hope they will magically become good. This is especially true for beginners. On your first few deals, you want to make sure there is plenty of profit on each deal. In other words, you want your first few deals to be home runs. The worst thing you can do is get involved in a marginal deal and get discouraged and quit the business. I want you to use my instant property analysis technique to make offers on your first phone call. At first, it will feel odd making offers without seeing the property, but after you do it a few times, it will come naturally. The goal is to get your offer to them right away to start the negotiation process. After all, you're not going to buy the house on the first phone call. The purpose of the first phone call is to start the negotiation process and get the seller to feel attached to you. When you make an offer, the seller will remember you. You may be the only person they've talked to who's actually made an offer. You'll impress them as different, and they'll respect you as a doer rather than just a talker. This is especially true if you're dealing directly with the seller. My father-in-law, Andy Lakin, is the best real estate investor and negotiator I've ever met. I have learned more from him than from all the other real estate gurus put together. He calls this technique getting them in the glue. Do this 10 times a day, every day, and you'll create a tremendous momentum that will lead to lots of $5,000 or more paydays. Two simple questions. When talking to sellers, you need the answers to two simple questions to do my instant property analysis. One, what will it sell for after it's repaired? ARV, or after repaired value it's called. Two, how much will it cost to repair? If it's a rental property, you will also need to know the estimated monthly rent amount. And if it's a for sale by owner FSBO property, you need to know the current loan balance and if they are behind on the mortgage payments. That's all you need to know. You already have all the other information, price range, location, number of bedrooms and baths, or you wouldn't be talking to the seller. What will it sell for after it's repaired? This is an estimate of how much the house would sell for in good condition once repaired. It's based on the price that's similar to houses in excellent condition have sold for in the same neighborhood. Most realtors who list properties know this information. After they agree to list the property, they always do a comparative market analysis, or CMA, for every seller and base the asking price on it. They know how much houses of this size and this type are selling for in the area. So don't be afraid to ask them. If the property being listed is a bank-owned property that has been foreclosed on, then the realtor has probably already performed a broker price opinion, or BPO, on the property to give the bank an idea of the price for which the property should be listed. But remember, a BPO is an opinion of what it should sell for in its existing condition. This is not something we should be concerned about. We are only interested in the ARV, or after repaired value. And most homeowners know approximately how much their house is worth. Sometimes a family member or friend happens to be a realtor and tells them what their house is worth. Gossipy neighbors spread the word about houses selling in the neighborhood. Many have their houses appraised to get home equity loans and can base their estimates on that. They can usually come pretty close, but my experience in the mortgage business is that an appraisal for a refinance or home equity line of credit and an appraisal for purchase can be very different. Appraisers will typically be more liberal on a refinance or a home equity loan appraisal than on a purchase appraisal. Always ask the seller or realtor for a ballpark number or range. For example, what would your house be worth in top condition? Just give me a ballpark. They'll say, I'd guess about $100,000 to $120,000. Always use the lower number. In this case, I'd use $100,000 in my property analysis. Some people might say, well, it has a current value of $80,000, but the current value is meaningless. You're not going to sell it based on its current value. You're going to sell it wholesale to an investor buyer who will fix it up and sell it, or rent it, or live in it. You need to know what it's going to sell for in mint condition. On this first call, all you need is a ballpark number to make your first offer. As you will see later, your first offer will guarantee a profit, even if the seller or realtor is not entirely accurate. Before you ever close on any deal, you'll verify both the value and the repair cost. I have closed deals every month for many years, and the ballpark numbers I got from my initial phone call with the seller or realtor have never steered me wrong. Remember, that you are not going to buy it on your first phone call. You just want to get your offer out to them in a way that leaves the door open for you to call them back or for them to call you back. Also, you want to get them into your database to be able to follow up with them. Remember, we want to get them in the glue. Ask the seller to ballpark the repair cost too. On the repairs, you should use the higher number if they give you a range. That way, you will be more conservative in your offer amount. Resist the temptation to lower the ballpark numbers you get from the seller because you want to be conservative. In the previous example, when the seller gives you a ballpark of $100,000 to $120,000, some people might want to be conservative and use $90,000 in the property analysis. Don't do it. Use $100,000. You're already being conservative by using $100,000. Lowering it by another $10,000 will result in your offer being too low. Then your lowball offer might be too low, which will make it more difficult to make a deal. Don't worry too much if you get bad information. We are going to verify everything before closing. By the way, if you use the right verbiage when making your offers, the seller will not get offended. It's not what you say, but also how you say it. If you would like to get a copy of the scripts I use when talking to sellers and realtors, you can get them by going to realestatedaytrading.com/bonuses. How much will it cost to repair? Sometimes sellers or realtors will say, "I don't know," when you ask. What's it going to cost to fix up the house? Then you should say the words, "just a ballpark." Sometimes, no matter how hard they try, sellers or agents can't come up with a number. If they still can't come up with a number or a range, then ask about the condition of the house. Does it need carpet? Has it been painted inside and outside lately? How's the roof? Does it need landscaping, windows, or a new front door? How does the kitchen look? Are the bathrooms in good shape? I've found that most fixer-uppers typically need at least $10,000 in repairs. Some need $15,000, and some need as much as $20,000 or more. From the answers to these questions, you will get a pretty good idea of how much work needs to be done. Then you can pick one of these numbers and plug it into your instant property analysis. Don't worry about being exact at this point. We will verify everything later, so there's no risk. Most realtors have property disclosure reports from homeowners before they list a house. They know what shape the house is in, what repairs need to be made. They will tell you if you are persistent. However, if it's a bank-owned property, the bank is not required to fill out a property disclosure form for the realtor as a general rule. A third question you need to ask. If you are working with a FSBO property for sale by owner, you also want to know the loan amount. You are looking for houses in need of repair that have a low loan balance or are owned outright free and clear with no balance. Why? Because as a real estate day trader, you are looking for houses you can buy at deep discounts from after repaired value of the house. For me, the maximum allowable price I will typically pay is 60 to 65% of the after repaired value as an all-in price, meaning I do not want to pay more than 60 to 65% including repairs. At this price, I can turn around and resell the property to an investor for 70% of the after repaired price, and it will still be a good deal for them. After they make the necessary repairs, they will still have 30% equity. To buy houses at this kind of discount, the house must need repair. When analyzing a deal, always remember that the price you can offer is limited by the amount of the mortgage. If the mortgage amount is close to the after-repaired value, you cannot buy a house at a good discount off of retail after-repaired price. If the existing mortgage is higher than your maximum allowable price, then you can't make any money buying the house unless you do what is called a short sale. More on that in a minute. In this case, you would have to buy at a price below the amount of the loan, but the lender wants to get paid and wouldn't agree to this deal. A fourth question you need to ask. If you're going to be selling the property as a rental, then you want to know the rents or potential rents. This is important because as a rental, the cash flow is more important than the ARV. A lot of investors will tell you that you should expect about 1% per month in rents, but I personally like to see more than that. I like to see at least 2% or more. In other words, at a 1% rental income per month, if the monthly rents were $500 per month, then the investor would be willing to pay $50,000. As previously mentioned, I like to see more. You can, however, sell rental properties to some investors at 1%, but always shoot for more if you can. It makes your property stand out and easier to sell. We will talk more about how to find rent comps later. Short sales are not the best way to day trade houses. If you're dealing with pre-foreclosures, many times the mortgage on the property is too high to allow you to get the discounted buying price that you need to make a profit when you resell. In this case, you could try to get the lender to agree to a short sale, allowing the owner to sell to you at less than the mortgage balance, so the bank would write off a portion of the mortgage as a loss. You can attempt this, but it is a complex process that takes a long time. As a beginner, I wouldn't suggest attempting a short sale until you have a lot of experience and training in short sales. One of the keys to short selling is to find a house that is in extremely bad condition. Then you have some leverage with the lender. But remember, it won't happen overnight. It takes a long while to complete a short sale. I believe in going after the low-hanging fruit. There are many other houses out there that you can quickly buy at steep discounts and sell to your investor buyers quickly. So, why should you put a lot of time into trying to climb up to the top of a tree to get a short sale for day trading when there are a lot of great deals just right for the picking on the lower branches? I have done short sales, and typically you can make more money on a short sale than you can on a day trading deal, but they take so long to complete that they don't work for day trading, in my opinion. For day trading, the best strategy is to stick with houses that need repairs, that you can buy at a steep discount off of the after-repaired price, and resell to buyers investors at 70% of the after-repaired value. That way, you'll have buyers lined up to buy from you. If you step out of this business model and start acquiring houses that don't need repairs or that are only slightly below market value, you could quickly get stuck with houses you can't sell, and that could be costly. Don't stray from the day trading model I've taught you. Sometimes sellers or realtors will balk at giving you the loan balance. If they do, just say something like, "Jim, let me tell you how we work. We buy 8 to 10 houses every month. If you are just starting out, you can leave that number out of the houses you buy a month. We pay all cash and can close as soon as you are ready. I'm prepared to give you an offer on your house right now before I get off the phone with you. I need to know roughly how much the loan balance is. Just a ballpark estimate will do." You can use the same speech when a seller or realtor hesitates to estimate the repairs or the after-repaired value. If the realtor refuses to give you an answer, ask him or her to contact the seller for permission. Realtors have a fiduciary responsibility to the seller if they are the listing agent. They may not give you the information unless the seller has advised them it is okay to tell a potential buyer. The realtor may be able to call a seller and ask if it's okay to tell you. When you're talking to homeowners, in addition to the loan balance, you need to know how far behind they are on their payments. Instead of asking, "Are you behind on your payments?" ask, "How far behind are you on your payments?" If they're not behind, they will tell you. If they are behind, they assume you already know. This is a less embarrassing way of telling you that they are behind. All of this is covered in the For Sale By Owner and Realtor scripts included with this book, and you can get them by going to www.realestatedaytrading.com/bonuses. I will give you more detail about how to get the information you need and make them a good offer before you get off the phone. I will also explain how to present a low offer in a way that will be respected and won't offend the realtor or seller or be rejected outright. Run the numbers. In my market, I've been able to wholesale houses for 70% of the after-repaired value. This may be the same or different in your market, depending on market conditions, the price range of your houses, and what investors are willing to pay. In a hot market, you may be able to wholesale houses at 75 or even 80% of the ARV. On the other hand, in a market where there are a lot of houses, you may need to wholesale them at 60 to 65% of ARV. For me, the 70% figure includes the purchase price and the cost of repairs. That means that I have to buy the property at a low enough price that when I add in all the repairs and my day trading profit, more details on this below, the total is less than or equal to 70% of the market value. I used to figure in closing costs and other costs, but I have since simplified the process. When I can get together deals at 70% of ARV, investor buyers will eat it up. It leaves a lot of room for them to make a big profit on the deal. That's why they line up for my deals. In order to cover these costs and stay under 70% of the after repaired value, I have to be able to buy houses for about 60 to 65% or less of the after repaired value. Do an instant property analysis. Here's my step-by-step instant property analysis system. Let's assume the seller tells you the after repaired value is $100,000 to $120,000. Then we'll use $100,000 as our after repaired value. We multiply $100,000 by 70%, and that gives us an investment to value of $70,000. This is the total amount of money that needs to be invested, which is my resale price plus the cost of repairs, to get the property in excellent condition in order to sell it at retail prices or to rent or lease option it to a tenant. Number two, now we need to subtract the repair cost. If the seller estimates repairs at $10,000 to $15,000, then we subtract $15,000. That leaves us with $55,000. Number three, if you think there's a possibility that the property will probably be rented instead of sold by a fix and flip investor, I will gather rent comps. This will give me an idea of how much income the property can generate on a monthly and yearly basis. A lot of landlord investors look for at least 1% per month in rents based on their all-in price. However, I like to see at least 1.5% to 2% a month or more, in other words. Number four, now I want to include my fee in the deal, which means I have to subtract it just like the repairs. You would be surprised how many people actually add their day trading fee. I generally want to make 5% to 10% of the after repaired value at least. I start with 10% or more and can always come down. This gives me some room to negotiate later if I need to lower the price. In this case, I'll start with 10% of $100,000 after repaired value. That's $10,000. So I subtract $10,000 from $55,000 and the result is $45,000. This is the maximum I can pay for this house and still make a profit for myself and offer my investor buyer a deal on which he or she can make a profit. I cannot pay more than $45,000 for the house. That's it. I used to include other costs like hard money lending cost and closing cost, and even a little for taxes and insurance for the buyer. I do not do this anymore. I prefer to keep it simple anymore. Just know that any cost that you incur will come out of your gross day trading profit. For example, I used to always get an appraisal, which will cost about $400. Although I do not get an appraisal anymore, when I did, I would figure that into my cost. I do always get a title search, which is part of the closing cost anyway, as you want to make sure that you and your buyer are getting a clean title. With houses in extremely bad condition, I used to get a home inspection, which is rare, but that cost me about $300. And if I'm doing a physical close instead of an assignment, option, or simultaneous closing, I have to account for my closing cost. However, as previously mentioned, I do not figure in all of these items anymore. So how much is your initial offer? My offer must be lower than the $45,000 because I want to leave room for negotiation. This is true unless I am bidding online on a HUD house or a house that is listed in an auction. I will typically offer about 10 to 20% below the maximum amount I can pay. I always use an odd number. An odd number makes it appear that I have calculated my cost carefully. In this case, if the maximum I can pay is $45,000, then I would probably offer something like $38,677 and negotiate from there. If I had used a round number like $36,000 or $40,500, the seller would think I am just throwing out a number. I always want them to think I've done my homework and calculated the number down to the dollar, especially if I'm dealing with an individual. Once you've gone through this a few times, it's easy. It's simple math. I also have a simple instant property analyzer that does all of the work for you. It is a simple, easy to use analyzer that allows you to make offers in 2 seconds flat. It is included with the purchase of this book and available by going to www.realestatedaytrading.com/bonuses. The Instant Property Analyzer works wonders and will help you to double the numbers of offers you make. Buy houses sight unseen. Using this system, you can make offers on houses sight unseen. You'll even be able to close on houses without ever seeing them. In the beginning, I recommend that you go look at houses before closing on them, if you can, especially if you are new to real estate and the property is located in your own city or area. If you are day trading too far away, then I will show you how to have someone else go look at it for you. Either way, it won't be long before you will be able to complete the entire transaction without ever looking at the house. We do, and many of our students do it all the time too. We now do all of our business by phone, email, and internet. However, we do hire someone we can trust to do this for us. Later, I'll show you how you can do this too. Once you have your day trading system set up, you can go into any market in any city, anywhere in the country, and buy and sell houses without seeing them. That is exactly what we do. We are buying and selling houses in new markets where we have never been. Day trading luxury homes. I mentioned luxury homes earlier, but I would like to go into more detail here. Although you can make a lot more money per deal, I am not a big fan of day trading luxury homes. When buying luxury homes, all the numbers change. You must buy luxury homes at a much larger discount simply because the values of a luxury home can change a lot depending on the appraisal. Appraisals of luxury homes are extremely inconsistent and unreliable based on my experience. I usually deal in the low to middle income housing market where the appraisals do not vary too much from the norm, usually no more than 2% to 5%. But appraisals of luxury homes can fluctuate by 20% or more up or down based on my experience. You never know what you're going to get. If you use 70% of appraised value as a selling price target in luxury homes, like I do in my lower mid-price market homes, you would be taking too great a risk. You'd want to change that to allow for this wider margin of error in your instant property analysis. If you find a luxury home that you can buy for 80% of appraised after repaired value, don't get too excited. It's not nearly enough of a discount. You've got to allow for an appraisal that will wipe out some of the discount margin. You need a better deal than that, at least a price that's 60% or maybe 50% of market value. The most you will be able to wholesale the property for is 70% to 75% of market value. As a general rule, I do not buy a luxury home unless I can get it at 50% to 60% of after-repaired value, including all of the cost involved. I learned this from luxury home expert and author Frank McKinney. He specifically says you need to be at 50% on a luxury home. So I would stay away from them until you become an experienced day trader. Three types of deals. When you're buying houses from distressed sellers, you are likely to incur three different types of deals. One, houses with little equity that need no repairs. Homeowners in default are looking to sell their house fast just to get out of their loan. In the case of a house in good condition, if the loan balance is close to the market value of the house, there is nothing you can do for them unless you can negotiate a short sale, which can take time. Two, houses with some equity that are in good repair. You can usually pay up to 80% of market value and flip these to a buyer investor who can immediately rent them out for a positive cash flow. You can also sell these to owner occupants that are looking for a good deal and have some cash to buy at a discount. If the 20% equity house is in need of repair, you should pass on it. The cost of repairing the house will eliminate the possibility of making a profit. There is no reason to even market for these kinds of houses. Even though they do not need work, they can be harder to sell because there is less of a discount and not as much room for an investor buyer to make any money. Three, houses with more than 50% equity. These are the best kinds of houses for day traders. With houses like this, there's a good chance that the total amount invested after repairs and your fee will be no more than 70% of the after repaired value. The 70% may be different in your area as previously discussed. That's why we need to know the loan amount. Your bread and butter houses should have a low loan balance or are owned outright with no loan balance. These are the kinds of houses you can buy at a steep discount and sell quickly to a buyer investor. Most are in need of repairs or updating, and some are vacant. Make your deals irresistible to buyers. I've shown you how to evaluate houses instantly and make strong offers that will ensure that you make deals in which you and your investor buyer will make money. Here's how you can make your deals absolutely irresistible. This will make your buyers choose your houses over your competitions and incite them to make offers on your houses sight unseen in 2 hours or less. This is important because in real estate day trading, time is critical. Once you get a contract to buy a house, you must find a buyer to resell it to within 30 days. So once you sign a contract, the clock is ticking. If you can't sell in 30 days, the deal is dead and you lose your deposit. It's not the end of the world, but you don't want this to happen too often. You'll lose good deals. You'll lose valuable opportunities that could make you a $5,000 plus paycheck. And you'll lose your earnest money deposit, which is typically $500 when working with realtors, but can be much less when buying direct from an individual. In day trading, your only risk is your earnest money deposit that you provide when you get an offer accepted. I'll teach you some ingenious techniques to protect yourself from ever losing your deposit. We add some important clauses to our contract that protect us for any risk of loss in making offers on houses sight unseen. With most real estate wholesalers who aren't day trading, once the offer is accepted and the contract is signed, they immediately try to sell the house. Most wholesalers push buyers to hurry up and make up their minds because of the 30-day time limit the seller has given them. Therefore, most investors view deals from wholesalers with a healthy skepticism. They are cautious and usually take the time to inspect the property thoroughly before making an offer on an as-is house. If they buy it, they are stuck with it, no matter how bad or unprofitable it is. We do things a little different. We try to make our houses easier for the investor buyer to evaluate and less risky. They are motivated to sign contracts on our houses sight unseen in less than a few hours. When an investor buyer from a typical wholesaler who hasn't done his or her homework and the investor finds out after the fact that the house wasn't as good a deal as he thought, he will never buy another property from that wholesaler again. That does not happen with us because we try to make sure our buyers' investors get a good deal. First, we make sure that our contract to buy the house contains a 15-day inspection period to protect us and allow us to back out of the deal if we need to. Once we sign a contract with the seller, we immediately send someone out to take many pictures throughout the house and thoroughly inspect the house and give us an idea of what needs to be done. Sometimes we have 50 to 100 pictures or more. Remember, we have no intention of repairing the house. Even though we will not repair the property, the buyer will. We find someone to go look at the house to take pictures and check out the condition by going on Craigslist or by using websites like WeGoLook.com or BPOPhotoFlow.com. An idea of the amount of repairs is of great value to our investor buyer. Even though we may not be getting a rehab estimate, we still want to get an idea of the amount of repairs that need to be done. Although we do give our buyer a range of the amount of repairs, such as $10,000 to $15,000, we still encourage them to do their own due diligence. We then contact local realtors and property managers to find out the value of the property after it has been fixed up and to also find out what the rent comps will be. We also want to ask the realtor whether this would be a better fix and flip or rental property. We also ask them how much we could get as a down payment if we sell or finance or lease option the property. Now we also run comps online as well, but at this point, you want to actually talk to some realtors and property managers to get a good feel for the market, neighborhood, and the property itself. We do all this before we offer the house to our investor buyers. Time is critical, and we can usually get this done within a day or so. Then we put the property on our website and announce it to our investor buyers by sending out an email to our buyers list. Now our investor buyers have all the information they need to make an informed decision without seeing the house. We include this information to reduce the risk to our buyers and make it easier to buy. Now, in the real world, most buyers will still either go look at the property or send someone to go look at it, but at least we have given them some information to go on. If you would like to see what one of our listings look like, you can visit www.investorsrehab.com and look at any of our properties. You can also sign up to get on our buyers list to get automatic email notification of our properties as they become available. In the following chapter, I'll show you how you can find motivated buyers who will jump at offers like this.